Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Maybe like a bear and dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today. And
Yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The secret in the hidden room that you should absolutely not know about. That's Chad Ekowitz.
Ooh, and that's Simone LaRue. Goodness me, that's an ominous tone that you're setting for this podcast.
Yes.
I like it a lot, yes.
I think if there's nothing else we take away from the movies that we cover here today is if someone says, hey, don't go in the basement, or hey, don't go in the attic, then like, you know what? Don't. If you suspect something, maybe call the police.
Yeah, that's always the very sensible thing to do. But horror movies have taught me that people aren't sensible. To be fair, these last 2 years have taught me that people are not sensible.
Yeah, that's been the theme.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? We always gawk and laugh at horror movies because it's like, why would you do that? That's so dumb. But then, you know, I think everything that's happened over the last years has just taught us, well, to be fair, let's call it 6 years, really, since 2016, really. You got to be wondering, you know, the baffling things that we do as a human race. So you can't criticize, you know, victims in horror movies anymore,
no,
I don't think.
No, it's, you're just like, you know what, fair hypocritical. Enough. The human stupidity truly is boundless.
Exactly. And speaking of boundless stupid human stupidity, wow, that one got away from me.
Try that segue again. This is the power of
podcasting. Let's try that one again. Exactly. And talking about boundless human stupidity, what would be the thing that you hid in your attic that you would want no one to know about? Like, what is your deepest, darkest thing that you would hide?
Probably all the shitty fan fictions I ever wrote that you can that never still see.
That I'm still desperately waiting to hear and see.
And never will.
And I haven't been able to find them.
I'm pretty sure the sites that they were on, like, aren't online anymore.
I feel you. Like, I'm hoping that on one day it will surface. Someone on this podcast will be doing like a deep dive or something, and it'll come to fruition. Or even you on your deathbed will just come forward and be like, "Here you go, finally." Since I can't be
yes,
embarrassed.
That's what I'll do with
dead.
My deathbed is give away my horrible fan fictions that I wrote as a dumb 12-year-old.
That's all I want in this life. Best gift ever.
I'll bequeath them to you in my will.
Yes, but I have to still find them. Like, you won't just give them to me willingly.
I still have to find them. Shit. What would you hide in the attic or basement?
For me, it would be all the dumb gifts that I've given people in history. So, you know, for example, that movie that we made together.
That was so cute. What are you talking about?
Look, I loved it. But if you look back at, like, the comedy that I used, it was all shock comedy. And, I'd rather devoid myself of that comedy. Yeah, look, yeah, exactly. But honestly, I'd rather not get cancelled. So if that can stay up in the attic.
That's fair.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't, like, super racist or homophobic or anything that I can recall.
Not homophobic, but definitely racist and definitely sexist. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely it was sexist and like, yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah, let it stay in the attic. I think that's the best thing to do. Yeah.
You've learned, you've grown, you've become a better
person.
Yeah,
exactly. That's all we can ask for in this world is just to grow with every day and just hope for the best. Yeah. Well, talking about hoping for the best, what are we doing this week, Simone?
This week, Chad, we have defaulted back to Old Faithful, the thing we can always lean on. Horror movies. Bad horror movies.
That's the joy of horror movies, though, isn't it? Because no matter what, no matter when, whatever wells run dry, there will always be more bad horror movies to come. It's just the unending well of our content for this podcast.
Yeah. I saw a tweet the other day that said that a mediocre horror movie is better than a mediocre version of every other kind of movie, and I agree.
Ooh, yes, I completely agree with that. Come fight us, anyone who disagrees with that, but that is so very true. Yes, absolutely. I would rather watch a mediocre horror movie than anything else that was mediocre. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I would rather watch a bad horror movie than a mediocre normal film.
Yeah.
Without a question. Truly. Duh. Yes. Yes. So that's correct. So this week we will be doing Shutter from 2018. Mm-hmm. And depending on where you look on the internet, it's either don't go into the fucking attic or attic or don't go into the attic. It really depends on where you look.
Yeah. I found it as don't go into the fucking attic. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that on, like, IMDb and stuff, but when I was actually looking for the movie, it was Don't Go Into the Attic. Oh. And that was, I had to, like, cross-reference.
On Shudder. Like, you have Shudder.
Yeah, yeah, that was what was weird about it. It was very strange. It was really, really weird. It was a weird thing. Yeah. But yeah, very, very exciting. And so let's decide who goes first. What are you drinking this week?
I am drinking a nice rosé.
Ooh, someone's having a hot girl summer, even though it's winter.
Even though it's winter. It's been very sunny. Like, global warming is in full effect, because this has been, like, a pretty sunny August, where, as you know, usually Cape Town in August is, like, horrible. Oh, it's the worst month to be in Cape Town.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's just sadness. Like, the sky reflects the sadness that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll take it. I had a lovely day in the sun yesterday, driving around to different breweries and checking
lovely.
Out. We stopped by, there was a petting zoo. I didn't do any petting. I'm not a child. But there were a bunch of baby goats.
Not baby goats.
I love baby goats. So yeah, it was just a lovely day. I've had so much pizza this weekend.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So like lots of running this week to try and like, balance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so much running this week, Chad.
Oh, goodness me. And I've got to ask the question then, like, you know this whole baby goat yoga thing that you do, like, that people can do? Would you do it? Like, what's your feeling?
I don't like yoga.
Do you not? Do you not like yoga? Wow.
It's not that I don't like it. I think I just don't like yoga classes. And I say that as someone who doesn't really like any fitness classes.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
I don't know. Exercise is like my own quiet personal time. So like I like stretching and I'll do like a little floor yoga routine to like work out any muscles. Like for a while my lower back was very sore, so I like did that. Mm-hmm. But like I guess like the spiritual side of it just doesn't appeal to me. I'm like the opposite of a spiritual person.
Yeah, that's very true.
To be trying to do that, like having someone tell me what to do and hold these silly stretches while goats are busy prancing around and I'm not allowed to go after them just doesn't seem like a time. Like, couldn't I just hang out with the baby goats without someone telling me what to do?
That's a good point. And I think it kind of defeats the purpose of yoga, right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of yoga is to be sort of zen, be in, like, a specific mind frame.
Yeah, how can you
and
be zen?
The goats...
There's, like, a little baby goat being cute.
Yeah, baby goat running around. Like, that's not just going to completely, like, take you out of where you are. Like, yeah, it just feels completely against the integral basis of yoga.
Yeah,
like,
but would you try it?
Yeah,
I don't want to yuck your yum or anything here.
No, I wouldn't, because, like, I do love yoga. Like, I'm a huge fan of yoga. Although I must say, I do make it competitive. And it really annoys me when I'm not, like, the most stretchy person. Which is probably, again, the, like, opposite of the fundamentals of yoga. Yeah. But it's fine. But yeah, I agree. Like, baby goat yoga just sounds like it's going to be a recipe for disaster. And there's no way you can focus. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, it's not a thing. Yeah.
But what are you drinking?
I am drinking absolutely nothing because, as you know, I was 45 to 50 minutes late to this podcast. So I just zoomed straight upstairs and set up. So I'm barren today.
You can't text
well
someone to bring you a cheeky drink?
No, I'd rather, I'm happy. I'm happy to drink nothing. I drank like a whole 2-liter bottle of Coke on the way here.
So it was quite real.
I'm jazzed. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to like paint the walls. Yeah, let's do it. But so let's talk, don't go into the fucking addict.
Why do
I say addict? I mean, it works because there are addicts in this movie, but even so.
Okay, let's talk about stay out of the fucking attic. Okay, so a small team of movers, headed up by Albert Schillinger, played by Ryan Francis, his friend Imani, played by Morgan Alexandria, and newest member of the team, Carlos, played by Bryce Fernelius. This is actually a really cool moving company because they specifically employ ex-convicts and give them a second chance. They are going to help move out the house of Werner Mueller, played by Michael Flynn. He is an elderly German gentleman who insists that, hey, like, let's get this moving quickly. Like, I actually need to be out of the house, like, by morning. So they're like, cool. And he offers them a bunch of money to do it. So they're like, cool, like, we'll pull an all-nighter. Whatever. The team bonds fairly quickly. It turns out that, like, Carlos is saving up a bunch of money for his daughter's college fund because he feels really guilty that he, like, lost his daughter when he was going through some hard times. Mm-hmm. It also turns out that Albert has some neo-Nazi tattoos. Carlos is very, very upset about this, but Albert explains, like, no, that was just, like, something I did while I was in prison, like, as protection. I still feel really bad about it, but, like, I feel like I haven't earned the ink removal yet. Like, you have to earn clean skin, was what he said. Yeah, and Imani truly is just living her best life.
Oh, yeah.
She is by far the coolest person there.
Oh, she's great. Absolutely love her.
So they're cleaning this house, or packing up this house, getting really weird vibes. Oh, and obviously the old dude was very specifically like, don't go into the basement, don't go into the attic, I'll sort that out myself. And they had plenty of work to keep them occupied anyway. But, like, as they're cleaning it out, they find a lot of, like, Nazi-type stuff. And they're like, this isn't great. But they, again, they kind of agreed to keep, like, cleaning. They're like, fuck it. Like, let's just, like, get this old Nazi dude's, like, shit and get out. And then, unfortunately, something, like, a roof falls out of the one closet. So something from the attic falls into the room. And it's, like, very incriminating Nazi stuff. Like, probably Werner Mueller is a Nazi. And they're like, oh, yeah. No. Things start to go wrong very quickly as they decide to investigate the attic and the basement. Imani is kidnapped by Werner Mueller, who reveals himself as sort of like an evil scientist and cuts her eye out because the serum is apparently really good from the eyes of people whose ethnicities involve strife and turmoil. So anyone non-white, one assumes.
Yeah.
At the same time, Carlos and Albert go to investigate the attic where they find one of Werner Mueller's experiments, Sarah, played by Avery Pizzuto. Sarah's twin is medically joined to her on her back. It's very creepy and weird. They keep trying to escape. Carlos gets, like, gassed to death, basically, but not before wiping out one of the scientist's other wild experiments that's very rabid and trying to defend the scientist. Scientist is upset. Albert gets to the basement. It's a whole thing. But basically, it turns out that Werner Mueller is Joseph Mengele, the angel of death. One of the worst people ever. Truly. Maybe the worst person ever.
Yeah.
And he's been able to keep himself alive all this time with the serum that he figured out. And he's been running all these experiments in his basement for all these years. There's more fighting. They get out, but, like, then Albert realizes he's still got a job to finish because Joseph's not dead. So he goes back to the basement, does the scene where he cuts the Nazi symbol off of his chest, crushes Joseph's head in just as the door to Joseph's sub-basement opens and his creations start crawling out. And it's implied that Albert is going to fight them all. And then the movie ends.
So what is your cliffhanger for this one?
Oh my god, I'm so tired.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
You know what? I'll go for this one.
All right, Imani, how about you? Care to share?
Nah, I'm good.
We just had a raw moment in front of you. Now's your time.
Cool. No.
Yeah? No?
I mean, I'm at peace with my past. Some dudes just deserve to catch these hands. I'm zen.
Yo, 100% you're not.
200% you're not.
Fuck you.
I love her. She's so cool. She's like, I don't have to share my tragic backstory. Like...
Yeah, it's great. And it's such, like, a wonderful thing because you think this is all just going to be, like, a whole bunch of exposition to try and make us care about these characters through wonderful monologues. Yeah. And then suddenly she's just like, no, I'm not taking part of this. No. And honestly, like, with this movie, it is not very often that we actually say Nazi horror, not bad. Usually, they are all trash. But you know what? I kind of enjoyed this one.
I didn't mind it. I don't know. I always hesitate a lot. I'm not even Jewish, but like, I always hesitate a lot with Nazi horror because I always feel like people don't take like, they don't take it seriously. Like they don't take seriously like the visceral, like historic, cultural like terrorism that these people wreaked on like an entire generation of people.
Yeah.
It's just like, ooh, experiments. So like, I don't love it. I don't love it. That being said, I kind of really liked the angle of like this neo-Nazi guy like trying to reconcile with like his past and like actually facing, you know, the OG Nazis and like, you know, really understanding in himself that he's nothing like them and he doesn't want to be anything like them. I thought that was a very cool angle, and I think that added a bit of extra something to this movie.
Definitely, definitely. It wasn't sort of like your typical tropes of sort of like Carlos's trope, which, while typical, is still nice, of the whole, oh, I'm just trying to save my daughter and rehabilitate. This guy, yeah, he was just very cool in the fact that he didn't forgive himself and, you know, fought against it. And that end scene where he like literally like cuts it out, it's so gross. It's so grim.
Necessary, but like it was, I mean, it made sense.
The
like,
symbolism was point
for his character,
like, it was really good. I thought it was a very bold move to bring Mengele into this. When they said I am Joseph Mengele, I was like, oh, okay,
he's not like your dad.
No, we're just gonna, just straight out, we're just gonna go for it. Just, you know, that is a very, very strong move. I don't know if it was the right move, but
Especially like, bold. Like, my whole thing, right, like, and I'm not a historian, so people can correct me here, but like, Joseph Mengele wasn't a great scientist. He was just a horrible person with access you know, human experiments.
Yeah, he was just like the worst human being.
He was just a serial killer with funding. Like, he wasn't smart. He wasn't super smart. He wasn't like a genius doctor who could figure out the serum for eternal youth and apparently not share it with any of his Nazi brethren.
But yeah, no, he had the same level of crazy that Hitler had. And so they kind of like really meshed well together. So yeah, like it was a really interesting take. I thought they were just going to do like plain just Nazi doctor, maybe like someone who studied under Mengele or something like that. But they were just like, nah, I'm Mengele. And I was like, wait, okay, this is where this movie is going. It felt also, like going on what you said about sort of the sensitivity of it, it did feel really insensitive with the gassing in the bathroom. That's the one scene that
I was like,
no.
Ooh.
That felt really icky. That felt very, very icky. It wasn't great. Like you can kind of, this movie takes a lot of, you know, chances. It really tries to push the boat out. And I don't know whether that is commendable, especially sort of like with what we're learning, you know, as a society about being more sensitive to these things. I think we've spoken about this before, especially in the context of like rape culture, in the fact that sort of jokes is the first sort of plinth upon which all the other horrible stuff is built. And that kind of feels like this where this is. I mean, you know, it's the same as like race and all that. Like these kind of, it's not a joke. Obviously, this horror movie is not a joke, but it's kind of like normalizing it, right?
Yeah, it's also like, no, I feel like neither of us have maybe the right vocabulary to put to how we feel about this.
I don't think anyone does.
But yeah, it's to me, like, you're right. It felt almost like seeing a rape scene in a horror movie that like is totally gratuitous and not like helpful for telling the story and not like useful in any way. They just included it because, you know, rape is scary or gas chambers are scary. And it's like not really paying attention to, like, you know, the actual real emotional cost of portraying something like that.
No,
and like
you're
not
so
really
very
doing
right.
it with any sensitivity or like awareness.
Yeah, it's, I think that is where this movie suffers, because I mean it's a really good concept. You know, I really like the idea of sort of hidden Nazis. I mean, Stephen King wrote a story that's similar to this. I can't remember its name, it's a short story and it's brilliant. About like a hidden Nazi in sort of rural suburbia, and a kid finds out that he's a
They're
Nazi and kind of blackmails him. Yeah, of course there are. Like how could there not be?
They're
I mean, the world is awful.
In Brazil. Ooh. No, literally, that's where they're all hiding out. Like,
yeah,
like whole.
Yeah, that's where they went.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Where Joseph Mengele actually went?
I think that's where he went, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was, like, the reason was, like, there was no extradition
treaty,
basically,
something like
it?
That. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad.
But yeah, like, I think that is, like, but as I was saying, like, the concept of this is really cool,
yeah.
And it could have been, like, without the insensitive stuff, like, just making him a Nazi crazy doctor and making, you know, Carlos's death not a gas chamber, this movie would have, you know, been really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone does the whole Nazi experiments kind of, you know, stitching people together and stuff, and that's interesting, but I think going further than that makes it a step too far. I think we've learned the line, and let's just toe it. Let's just bring it back down.
Especially, like, I think there's some, like, incoherent messaging sometimes in this movie because, you know, obviously they try to rescue Sarah, the, like, abomination in the attic, and then, like, Mengele, like, unleashes all of his monsters from the basement, but it's like, surely they also deserve, like, the same level of empathy
Sarah
does, just because they're not pretty white girls.
Exactly.
Like, they're all victims too, I think.
Exactly. And it's also implied that they're, like, on Mengele's side. Like, they're all sort of his demons. So why did he have them locked up like that? Because, you know, his one faithful demon experiment thing was, like, allowed to be free and just do whatever it wanted. And why weren't the others, you know?
It would have been, like, much cooler, I think, to do sort of what they did in, like, Lovecraft Country, where, like, it was, like, all ghosts, but it was, like, all this, like, evil doctors, victims came out and, like, basically killed him.
Right.
And, like, I think that's like, cool. A little bit more poetic than some random ex-neo-Nazi killing this Nazi plus his victims.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird take to end it on. I mean, look, the ending scene is very cool. Ending. I mean, the fact that he's, like, just standing there and he's like, come on, let's fucking do this. That was awesome. Yeah. So, like, on that basis, like, I hope they don't, but do you reckon there'd be a Don't Go Into the Attic 2?
I don't think they should. I think that was a great place to leave it. Sometimes, like, a good story, you gotta know where to end it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, if you're gonna push the boat out on the first one, you have to do something bigger on the second one.
Yeah.
And, like, that would just be another step way too far.
It's like, all the Nazi doctors are hanging out there. Hitler's still alive somewhere.
Mecha Hitler comes back from the grave. Oh, just too much.
No.
Way too much. Yeah. Yeah. So what is your golden nugget of this one?
My golden nugget of this one is I do feel like there's something here. I've mentioned this already, though, with, like, an actual, like, neo-Nazi meeting, like, an old-school Nazi, and seeing, like, the reality of, like, you know, these fucking losers that they worship so much.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to that, especially, like, in today's current climate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always think, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just too optimistic about the world, but if these actual, like, fucking losers, like, saw a real concentration camp or saw, like, actually, like, the human carnage and damage, like, that their ideology is supposedly pushing for. I don't think they'd be as tough as they think they are.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, like, that was a very interesting thing to have there, where, like, this guy's, like, facing this old ideology that he, like, supported for a time, and he's clearly grown and learned from. I think it's cool, like, you know, he's got this team of two people of color who he works with and respects and admires, and, like, you know, the dichotomy there. And I think that would have been something really interesting to explore, and it would have, like, it already gave the movie, as it was, like, a lot more depth. But
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
they could have definitely spent more time on that, right?
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, there is so many sort of, like, subtext and, like, really good themes with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of brushed over, and it's tried to, like, it's used as a weapon against him when the Nazi doctor's like, oh, that is not a sign from prison. That's, like, a proper Nazi shit.
Like, it was,
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you're using it as a weapon, but this dude has clearly changed who he was,
like,
you know, and he feels deeply shamed about it.
Yeah.
And he's honestly trying to work it off, you know? So yeah, they could have, like you said, I mean, don't we all have things that we want to hide in our attic, as we said at the beginning of this podcast? And so I think they could have worked with that a bit more. You're absolutely right.
For sure. Yeah. What's your golden nugget?
I just love the fact that it's a moving crew who are sort of, you know, all ex-cons and things like that. I just, you know, they've all got hearts of gold. I love that. They're just such a fun group of people, you know. It's one of those really nice horror movies where instead of being told you have to root for them,
yeah,
you are actually made to root for them. Because it's just like, they are all trying to make their lives better, but they're still people. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they've got this awesome money and they've all got goals that they want to reach, except for, you know, the female mover who's just like, I just like to get it paid. Like, that's all I want.
And like, that's something cool that they could have explored, right? That, like, technically these people, like, broke the law, but they're still, like, better human beings than this other guy who technically didn't break any laws with what he was doing. But, like, you know, they're on other opposite sides of society almost. Like, there's so much interesting stuff that could happen here.
Exactly.
And I would have it's really all liked missed. To see that.
Exactly. You know, and there's like, it's the cuteness of sort of their interactions with each other. Like that bit where Carlos can't get like the couch through the door. And so Shridler or whatever his name is, comes and like teaches him how to get it off its hinge and stuff. And and obviously the Carlos uses it later in the bathroom. And it's just like really fucking cute things like that, of like trying to help and like the humanity of it. Yeah. I thought that was cool. Yeah. Would you recommend this?
I don't know.
Yes, thank you, right?
Like, I think if you've listened to us talk about this movie and it really sounds up your alley, then, like, go for it. But if maybe you don't really love horror to begin with and, like, you're not, so, you're like, I don't know. If it sounds up your alley, go for it. If it doesn't, you're probably not missing out.
Yeah, I would say even for like avid horror fans, like skipping this one, you're not missing out. But if you're just like looking for something on Shudder, like you're really like searching through it and you just don't know what to watch. You know, you've watched all the sort of greats that are on there and like you're just looking for something to like watch on a Wednesday. Like this is definitely a Wednesday watch. Nothing heavy. Just something that like, I've seen that. I can talk about that now if it ever comes up in polite conversation, which it's bound to, right? Like, this is a polite conversation hot topic.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, I watched this movie about just an immortal Joseph Mengele.
Oh, cool. And why do you think we should hire you? Because you're bringing this up here? It's very strange.
I never the want to boldness. Do a job interview ever again in my life, Chad.
No, never again. I'm done with that shit. Mm-mm. Yeah, but yeah, I completely agree. It's a weird one. I wouldn't actively recommend it, but I think people should maybe watch it. Like, if there's nothing else on, like, and you just feel like a horror movie. Like, I would say this is one of the better Nazi horror movies, but it's still a bit weird and a bit gross.
Yeah.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer!
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe? Sam?
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I mesmerize him.
This is Adelaide's Anarch movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Pulp Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
We've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
All right there. Screechy child.
My favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good.
But better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos for Dania.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories.
Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
Even support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.
Well, talking about another enigma wrapped in a mystery, shall we talk about Shutter? Oh,
Christ. I'm very interested to hear you do a synopsis because there are about five different storylines happening in this movie, and all of them are bad.
Yeah, it was a toughie to do. I'm not going to lie. This took me quite a while to work out how I'm going to get the flow of this.
I'm very excited.
So, Jane and Ben, played by Rachel Taylor and Joshua Jackson, respectively, are so unbelievably happy. They've just gotten married, and now they're about to move to Japan for the next big adventure. Ben is a photographer, and his old buddies, Adam and Bruno.
I watched a different movie to you.
Oh, no. Oh,
I watched Shutter 2017. I
watched Shutter 2008.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. It's happened.
No.
No. So tell me what your movie was about. I can't believe it's happened.
You know what? This was inevitable. This was going to happen.
Holy shit. What is this? A supernatural stalker pursues a supermodel to steal her soul with a demonic camera.
Yeah, it's really
okay.
Bad.
Okay. I can imagine that it would be really bad.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds horrendous. Okay. Then, how do we proceed with this? Is this just going to be a really short episode now?
I don't know. Okay.
We can't talk about this. We literally cannot talk about this because I can't, like, there's no dynamic here because I can't talk about your movie. You've never seen my movie and I've never seen your movie.
Okay, here's
guys, I guess this is a...
Okay, so we can either stop it early here and just be like, apologies, everyone. We also, alternatively, because I don't want to force you to watch this movie and I don't think you want to force me to watch yours by the sound of things.
No.
What if you briefly explain to me what happens in your movie? I'll briefly explain to you what happens in my one.
Okay.
And we can both just, like, share how horrible these movies were in, like, quick terms. And
I think that's fair.
Just apologies to everyone. We've been doing this for how long now, Chad? And we're still bad at it.
Hey, statistically speaking, we have done over 200 movies and never before. This is the first time that it's ever happened that we have actually watched different movies. Mm. That is fucking impressive.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, statistically talking, that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we've had close calls in the past, but this never actually happened. That is incredible. Okay. Damn. Look at that. Okay, so let me tell you very briefly about my movie. That's so fucking funny. So basically, it's this married couple, and they move to Japan, right? So they're, like, driving down the road at this one time, and it's, like, really fucking snowy, and this woman steps out into the road, gets hit by the car, and Jane is driving. It's Jane and Ben. Jane's driving, and she hits this car, and Ben was, like, kind of asleep, so he didn't see her. They get derailed, crash. When they wake up, there's no one on the road. Like, there's no signs of anyone getting hit. So Ben's just like, don't worry about it. I think you were dreaming. Just, like, proper gaslighting her. So she's still freaking out about it. But, like, eventually she kind of gets over it, whatever. They get their wedding photos back because they're newlyweds. And all of the photos are, like, ruined. They've got, like, this glare on them, basically. And it just looks, like, weird. Jane is obviously still struggling with this. It's fine. Like, Ben is a photographer. So he goes off, like, whatever. He, like, fucking does his job, like, in Japan. And all of his photos are also ruined by this thing. So Jane starts to investigate. She finds out that it's all, like, spirits captured in photography, and it's all of the same woman, and it's the woman that they hit.
Right.
She goes on some further investigations. She finds out that the woman in the photo is actually this woman called Yugumi. I think that's right, Megumi. And basically, Ben used to live in Japan. He and Megumi hooked up. They started dating. He got over her. She became super clingy. His best friends sexually assaulted her while he took photographs so that he could blackmail her if she ever came back into his life.
Is she the one getting blackmailed?
Because they're like, oh, look at you, you're a slut, you know?
Yeah, by all means, please send me those photos so I can go to the police with evidence. What the
exactly.
fuck?
Right? So then Jane's like, furious at this, and she's like,
so
you know, you're a rapist.
Finding out your fiance, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm living vicariously through you with this. This is very exciting.
She was just like, fuck this noise. So eventually they find out, like, they go and visit Megumi, and she's Megumi, and she's murdered. She's killed herself, and that's how she's like a spirit, and she's like latched onto Ben basically as the spirit. Eventually, after Jane has left Ben because he's a fucking creep, and absolutely, and basically, like, that's the whole message of the movie. It's sort of like this ghost wasn't actually trying to haunt them; it was trying to warn Jane that her husband was a piece of shit.
Love those ones.
It's right. That's why I love this film, because it's like that was my golden nugget for this one, because she's like, yeah. So eventually, like, Ben's being tortured by Megumi. So he basically takes some live wires and, like, puts them against his head to try and kill himself. But he just ends up burning himself. And the final scene is him, like, in an insane asylum, hunched over. And as the camera pans away, you see basically Megumi on his back.
Ugh,
and
amazing.
That's how it ends.
That's so cool.
Like, yeah.
That's
yeah,
fucking rad. Yeah. I want to see this.
It's a terrible movie,
so great.
But it's
there
like
I was like texting you while watching My Shutter, which is objectively horrible. And you're like, oh, it gets worse. And I mean, you were right, it does.
Yeah. Look, the pacing in my movie is all over the place.
Okay.
And you're also like, you're supposed to like, you know, they try to make Ben the innocent one for like the longest time. And just like, he's constantly like gaslighting Jane. And you're just like, I can't root for this guy. Like from the first moment. And they try to bury the lead in that respect. And you just can't.
But you're just like, this guy's such an asshole.
But yeah. Tell me about your Shutter. I'm so intrigued.
Okay. Chad, I need you to just like try and stay with me here.
Okay.
So this is Shutter 2017. It looks like it was filmed in the 80s. Like, it's like this horrible color palette that's all over the place, and
beautiful.
Shaky cameras, and the clothes are just like awful. So like, it was filmed in 2017. It looks like it was filmed like in the 90s.
Okay. Right.
So
excellent.
Okay, I'm gonna try and. Okay.
You weren't prepared to do a synopsis, so I don't
so
blame
the story
you here.
Partially follows these two siblings. Now, what happened was when they were young, the one sibling, I forget his name, let's call him Leonard. Leonard, he stabbed their parents to death, and he goes
to an
asylum. And meantime, like, his sister, I guess, like, grows up, and she's a supermodel. So the movie picks up as, like, his supermodel sister is, like, living her life, but she, like, won't look at mirrors. Like, her contract stipulates that she won't, like, do anything with mirrors. Her agent, who is a big part of the story, or her publicist, Kate, who's a big part of the story, like, literally goes into hotel rooms before her to, like, cover up mirrors and stuff. So it's, like, really weird. And basically, it turns out... This is just one storyline in this whole thing, but it all,
comes
together. And it turns out that, like, they both thought that their father was possessed.
Okay.
And because of that, like, Leonard killed their father. And Leonard, spends all of his time working with, like, this doctor friend that he makes in rehab. Like, it's one of his doctors, but he considers the doctor his friend. Like, basically being like, no, it was, like, a group delusion that the two of us had. Like, I need to move past it, blah, blah, blah. And, like, he gets released. And his sister's like, no, it was real. And he's like, no, you made up that demon in the mirror. That possessed our father. And she's like, no, but you told me about him first. So then he, like, basically spends the rest of the movie until the end, like, going on some weird spiritual journey through the streets. Like, and then it turns out that the doctor that he befriended in rehab wasn't real. It was, like, all a figment of his imagination. But the figment of his imagination was also protecting him from this demon spirit the whole time. So that means, like, maybe
I'm
the power
so
was
confused.
In him all along. Okay. And then at the same time...
Fuck off. This movie is ridiculous.
The supermodel sister, her name is Lake.
Okay, right.
Lake and her publicist, Kate, are, like, trying to solve this mystery, right? And, like, because Lake slips up with the mirror thing and gets attacked in her bathroom. And then she explains everything. And there's also, like, a lady who is, like, minding Lake's house. She's the worst house sitter in the world. She's terrible. I think her name's, like, Ashley or something. She's like, no, I saw the demon too. So, like, then they're, like, trying to solve a mystery. They talk to a rabbi for a bit because, like... Lake's mom gave her, like, some Hebrew on what's implied to be, like, human skin to read, and it was apparently protective, but the rabbi's like, I cannot help you with this. Like, this is a lot. So that's ultimately useless. And then, like, at the same time, Kate's also trying to maintain her relationship with her boyfriend, Kevin, who is a very patient man and also a judge. He has to bail them out of prison at one point because... they're trying to talk to some spiritual guru to solve the mystery, but like that spiritual guru actually has a restraining order out on Ashley, so it's a little awkward. They all go to prison. Kevin, Kate's boyfriend, bails them out of prison, proposes to Kate in like the reception area.
Good Lord.
And he's like, what's going on?
This is a lot.
This is crazy. I just proposed to you in prison. And it's like, no one made you do that, Kevin. Okay, and then...
Like, I wish people... Obviously, guys, go and look at our YouTube channel for this. Because honestly, like, my face right now, I am so confused by this movie.
And then... At the same time,
Jesus.
There's this photographer at the very beginning that Lake pissed off because she was like, he wanted to do this like shoot involving a mirror. And she was like, and the publicist was like, absolutely not. Her contract says no mirrors. We're getting our money back. You're not getting this shoot. And he's like so pissed off. He's like Scottish kind of.
Okay.
And then his like two assistants who are nefarious at best.
Okay.
Like, no, we have a project that you should work on. And they like take him into this warehouse where there's this photography shoot happening, and there's like this old camera, and this like creepy woman is like, no, you have to be worthy of using this camera. And he keeps like trying to take pictures of these people, and it like keeps blinding him until the scene that he stages with these two people is very violent and they're killing each other, and then he's worthy of the camera. But anytime he tries to take pictures with any other camera, he can't. He just shows like murder scenes through the lens. So like he slowly loses his mind. And it turns out, okay, it all comes together, Chad. Like, be with me. Like,
okay, I believe you. You're taking me on this journey and I'm not getting off the boat. Not yet.
And it turns out that this demon, right, that's been haunting our twin friends.
Yes.
And that's been like in the mirrors all the time. This demon, like, that's his camera, and it's an integral part of his ritual to be able to like enter the mortal realm. So now he's got his photographer.
Okay.
He's got... Please, Chad.
I've got a whole bunch of questions, but yeah, I'm just gonna like...
And now, take, yeah. know, he's got this cult, basically, that's enabling him, and they're the ones who are setting up, like, the brother getting released from the asylum. They're setting up... getting this photographer involved so that he can come in. And basically it all culminates. They've kidnapped Leonard while he was wandering the streets sadly and realizing his doctor was fake. They've kidnapped him. He's tied to an altar. Lake tries to save him. She's very bad at it.
Okay.
And then it ends with this them all stabbing Leonard to death, this cult in red robes, while the photographer is taking pictures. And then the demon is finally able to enter the world through the mirror.
Okay.
And then he's like, no, you should all kill each other. So then all the cult members start stabbing each other.
Right.
The guy's still taking photographs, and I think that's energizing the demon somehow.
Yeah.
And then he kills the photographer because he's a demon. But it's like the demon is just like an old man in a suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they went really conservative with it. Okay.
A creepy old man in a suit. But nonetheless. And then Lake saves the day. She takes the camera from the dead photographer and takes a picture of the demon, and that apparently can kill him. And
what a loophole.
I now cannot for the life of me remember how this fucking movie ends, but I think it ends about there. And then she gets blamed for, like, all the culty
murder
stuff. And then the movie ends.
I mean, I have a lot of questions. Like, I have an awful lot of questions. I want to know how you feel. First of all, like, you were texting me throughout this watching of this movie. And I mean, given my previous context, it made sense why you were saying this, like, all these things to me. I was like, you're being a little harsh, but I can understand where you're coming from. Hearing what you have just said about this movie that you watched, I don't blame you at all for having those feelings. I think you were actually being very, very nice.
Well,
I think you were pulling your punches.
This is the thing. This is the downfall, is I didn't want to discuss it too much.
Yes.
And then we lose the magic.
Yes, absolutely. Although I feel like we've definitely created our own kind of magic here today.
Yes.
This is a wonderful sort of shenanigan based.
I'm actually very jealous of your movie, because at least it had
I can
a
see
single
that.
Plot line.
Yes, your movie sounds very complicated.
Oh, and it was very badly done. Every single plot line was terrible. The acting was all bad. There were some horrible practical effects where, like, you know they do in horror movies where, like, they show an up-close stabbing and it's clear that they're stabbing, like, a prop or whatever, and then they pull back to show, like, the person bleeding. But, like, the lighting and color
you could
grading
see it.
Was totally different between those two cuts.
Fantastic.
It's
fantastic. I'm actually, you know what? Now, like you've said this to me. Hold on, I want to check the messages that you've said to me that you've sent me because I think they're gonna make a lot more sense with what we've just been discussing. So I'm just gonna read these back, and it will be interesting for our people. So you said, "What the fuck is happening with Shutter?" I said, "Or better yet, why did Shutter happen at all?" And then you said, "I'm 30 minutes in and I want to die," which I think is very, very fair from what you've just said to me. Yep. This is, okay, now that I see this message and I'm reading it more clearly, it makes a lot more sense. I can't believe this came out in 2017. Why did I not pick up on that? Why did I not go, wait, hold on, 2017, 2017, not 2008. I should have realized that.
You were busy this weekend, Jeff.
That's on me. That's on me. Then you said, it's like a terrible student project. That's when I was like, that's a little harsh. But I should have realized. But yeah. To be fair, thinking about that, even if at, 9 o'clock this morning when you texted me that, 9 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock your time, I think it would have been really shitty if I had just been like, wait, no, you've watched the wrong one. You now have to go back and watch another terrible movie.
I mean, we could have just postponed this.
Yeah, that's also true. But this is just like a really nice happy accident, I guess, because
yeah,
yikes, your film. Is there anything redeemable about your film?
No.
Just terrible from start to finish?
I know, like, usually we break it down a bit more and like get into the minutia.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, but...
No, it was really bad. It was really long. You're trying to solve a mystery that they don't even bother to set up nicely.
Damn.
What about your movie? Was there anything? Like, your movie sounds cool. Like, it sounds like there's some, like, nice suspense there. I always love a nice, the husband did it plot, where the wife is, like, slowly realizing that her husband's a dick. Love those.
Yeah. I love it. I love when the demons are actually on your side and there is a warning, not as a threat. That shit really makes my day. I love demons who are helpful.
Yeah.
Like, that's very, very cool. Yeah, I think that's what's redeemable about it. I mean, it's all terrible. Like, you're not convinced by any of these characters, right, and they're all shit. Jane is lovely, but she looks anxious all the time, even when she's having a good time.
Who could blame her?
I mean, and so, yeah, like, it's fine. I would recommend it. Like, I would say, because you love horror movies, I would say go and watch this. Especially because you love sort of the husband does it kind of thing. Yeah. But I would say give yourself a break. Take it easy. Watch a good horror movie before you watch
exhausting.
It, please.
I'm not gonna lie, Chad.
I can imagine, dude. Oh, man.
That being said, if you do like a good plot like that, Things Seen and Heard does that really well.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to watch that.
I know that's probably a total spoiler, but you kind of get the idea that the husband's sus to begin with, so.
Fair. I mean, you spoke about it on the mini-sode, so I do definitely want to check that out. Mm. So, yeah, cool. Well, I guess that's it, Simone. That has been... both wonderful and a shit show.
Guys,
I'm so glad.
Thank you so much for... if you're still listening, thank you for just riding that out with us.
You know what? Improvisation is half of what podcasting is, and that's what we did there, and it was great. I think we created great content today.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah. I'm glad that we both actually got to see that. I got to explain that plot to you. It was very therapeutic to me, actually.
I can imagine.
Go through it and be like, okay, that wasn't like a fever dream that I imagined.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, and to be justified in how you were reacting to that film, I think that's very fair. Absolutely. So, Simone, after the shit show that was this episode, I think we need to be very clear on what we're going to do next week. Like,
you know,
explicitly
what?
Clear.
That is not a problem.
I think we should watch the movies together because we clearly cannot be trusted.
I need you
to
show me random pictures of the movie that you are watching so we can confirm.
Definitely. Yes. 100%. So what do you think we should do next week and be absolutely clear?
Okay. So this is going to be very easy, Chad, because I want to go back to the origins of my crush on Antonio Banderas.
Okay. Ooh, love it. Okay, yes.
And that origin is the Zorro movies.
So good. Swashbuckling,
yes.
But also not swashbuckling. I'm about it. Yes.
He's swashing,
let's do it.
He's buckling, he's handsome.
Yes.
So basically, if the Zorro movie that you are watching does not have Antonio Banderas in it, it's the wrong one.
It's the wrong one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like The Mask of Zorro and The Legend of Zorro, or like something like that, but it's Zorro 1 and 2
right
with Antonio.
Yeah, there's There's only two of them.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So we should be fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm excited. I love him. He's brilliant. And yeah, we haven't done an Antonio Banderas week before. Mm-mm. So this is very exciting.
And certainly not a Zorro yes. week before.
Oh, yeah. That's a very, very exciting. We should add like a trifecta to this and do Puss in Boots because it's basically Zorro. But that movie is truly terrible.
Look, you know what? I think we deserve a little break. I think I deserve.
Yeah. you deserve to be pampered this week. I think, yeah, let's discover your sexuality towards Antonio Banderas.
And maybe awaken it in you too.
Oh, I mean, I'm already there. That man is so handsome. Ugh. How could you not love him? Yeah. Ugh. So what is your gratitude for this week, Simone?
My gratitude for this week is... Chad, people who don't watch YouTube won't care about this, but like I've got a hair appointment set for tomorrow.
Oh,
I have not,
girl.
I have not had a hair appointment in like a year. So also people who watch the YouTube have been watching my roots steadily grow out and my hair get longer over the last year.
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited to just have it touched up. It's like, it's not terrible, but it's also at the point where like, I don't feel like cute out in the world with my hair down, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I know what you feel like it's also like a confidence thing. Like
yeah,
you wanna
exactly.
Go like, out I and just be like, look how bomb my hair is.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to be a polished human being again. And I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited. I love my hairdresser. I haven't seen her in a year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to just let her get all up in my scalp.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. Mm. It's going to be like, it's going to be one of those revitalizing feelings. It's just going to give you that manna from the heavens.
I'm so excited.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Mm. I'm so happy for you, dude.
Thank you.
That's
going to
be amazing.
What's your gratitude?
Burgers.
Oh,
Simone,
yes.
Holy shit. Okay, so I went away this weekend with my girlfriend, and we are trash pandas when we go away together. Like, just the worst human beings, sort of like sleeping till 11, eating like shitty
being on holiday,
food.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we went to BrewDog, you know, the beer company.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got like restaurants like peppered throughout South Africa, throughout the UK.
Okay.
And so we went there, and their burger of the month was a vegan beetroot burger.
Ooh.
But the beetroot was the bun. It was beetroot
Interesting.
Buns.
Interesting. Cool.
It was really good, and it was like a chicken, vegan chicken,
mm-hmm.
and a gravy that was just to die for. It was one of
nice.
The best burgers I've ever had. It was like the it's not bacon. Bacon on it,
yeah,
which was
yeah.
amazing. Just incredible vegan cheese, like smoked applewood.
Nice.
Oh my god. Incredible. And that like that beetroot bun,
mm-hmm.
just one of the best burgers I've ever
vegan
had.
Vegan food
incredible.
Is getting so fucking good. I know we've
so
talked about this a
good.
Lot on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
but it's getting like insane.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not healthy anymore, guys.
No.
You can live the sluttiest lifestyle.
That's what
like,
I like.
This weekend. Literally, this is the point. So I had a burger for breakfast. Well, it was more like lunch by the time
yeah.
we got outside because we were trash pandas.
That's
and
fine.
Then for dinner, I had a KFC vegan chicken burger. And it was so good.
What is
like,
happening?
Like, obviously, I know. It wasn't as good as the BrewDog burger, but it was still unbelievably
yeah.
tasty. And I was shocked that KFC did a vegan burger. And just incredible. Like, it tasted like a proper zinger. It was amazing. And it just blew my mind. So guys, there is genuinely no reason to eat meat anymore.
Yeah.
Just, you know, live your best fatty lifestyle.
Even if you're
lifestyle.
Thinking about, like, eating slightly less meat, like, it is beyond easy. It's so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy and it tastes so good.
Like,
there's no point to it.
Rudy's, like, the most carnivorous man that I know. And truly, the times that I bake, when I make vegan baked goods, he likes them more. Even if I don't
yeah.
tell him they're vegan until afterwards, like, he'll just be like, God damn,
yeah.
this is so good. And I'll be like, oh, it's vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite donut place now is a vegan donut place. Like,
incredible.
It, vegan baked goods, vegan savory stuff is so good, guys. It's getting so good.
So good.
It's not like 10 years ago where it was like a sad pile of beans.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so good. Like, I had I think I spoke about this already, but the vegan Frankfurter I had the
yeah.
other day. It was like, it was the size of my fucking arm. It was so good. It was nuts. Like, yeah, seriously, guys, go out there, become, you know, your best slut, and you'll feel better for it because, you know, it's, you know,
yeah.
not got the fatty content of meat. Like, it's just, you know, vegan. It's
yeah.
great. Guys, seriously, you're going to get sick of saying this, but shit. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I can be my true fat self, and I don't
yeah.
have to kill any animals for it. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. And thank you so much for sticking with us through this very impromptu week. We loved it. I hope you loved it too. And if you did love it, or if you didn't love it, please tell us. And where can the people do that, Simone?
They can tell us all about their disappointment on Facebook and Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, in 240 characters or less on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP. They can email us essays about how unprofessional we are at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, please do, you guys. We love it. I mean, these are the shenanigans that you would expect in a comedy movie. So what? We're no better than that. Come on now. But regardless of anything that happens during the main episodes, we will always say this at the end of the episode. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Azaro. And I'm inviting you to the Hidden Pixels podcast, a show exploring those gaming stories you might have missed on your first playthrough, whether it's a side character's dark past or a small piece of information that changes the entire fictional universe. I'd like to share with story lovers and gamers alike. From Nintendo to Bethesda to your favorite indie games, we're looking at all different types of series to find these hidden stories. So join us every 2 weeks on the Hidden Pixels podcast, available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other podcatcher. I can't wait to share these stories with you. Thanks.